Now turn to Deuteronomy 5:16. It's the fifth book of the Bible. Deuteronomy means second law. So we're hearing a lot of what was in the book of Exodus for the second time. And the book of Exodus was for those people who had been taken out of slavery in Egypt and were moving towards the promised land. But that generation perished in the wilderness because they did not keep covenant with God. They didn't trust in the Lord who had delivered them so strangely. But their children were now, in the book of Deuteronomy, you can imagine standing around Moses as he makes these speeches on the tops of these high mountains in Moab. The mountains of Moab that looked down upon the promised land, the land promised to Abraham. And here this second generation listen to these speeches of Moses as they were about to enter into the promised land, and he presents to them not only their history, not only how God has redeemed them, but how they are to respond to his redemption and live in the land for his glory. And so we have the second edition of the Ten Commandments. And so hear now the word of God. This is the sword of the Spirit. Honor your father and your mother, as Yahweh your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that Yahweh your God is giving you. Let's pray. Our Father Jesus often would speak about the need for ears to hear. And so we pray that you would give us listening ears. Help us to focus, for we live in a culture that has made it so difficult to focus for anything more than 30 seconds to a minute. We pray that you would do that remarkable work amongst us, that we would give you and your word full attention. And pray, Lord, I pray that you would give me words that would honor your word, that would not get in the way of what you want to be said, so that we all might benefit. In the name of Christ, amen. Mother's Day. I want to read you a little short story. This is from the Africa Bible Commentary. It's a one whole Bible commentary. It's a useful one. I would recommend having it there on your shelf. And an African commentator tells us this story about this particular command to honor your father and your mother. He says, it's amazing to note that all these commandments were known in African traditional society. All 10. For example, in 1881, the missionary founders of the Evangelical Congregational Church in Angola visited King Ekwe II of Bailundo in order to explain their mission. The missionaries explained the notion of God and of the Ten Commandments, but the king pointed out that his people already knew all these commandments through the local priests at the Atumbo, that is, the places of worship, of the Ovimbundu kingdom. Now, of course, it's not just this one kingdom in Africa that's aware of the command to honor your father and mother. We don't just have to go across the Atlantic to an African society to find out that other people besides Christians know about the command to honor your mother. We could go across the Pacific from here. We could go back thousands and thousands of years to Confucius. And he taught Chinese civilization. He was the maker of Chinese civilization in many ways, and fundamental to it was honor your mother and your father. And we don't even have to go across the oceans to find these things out, do we? You could go down the street like I was, across from the post office, in the yard of the apartments, to the woman from El Salvador who's selling baskets for Mother's Day all week. You can go to CVS or Costco. You can go to your calendar on your wall. Today's Mother's Day, right? We all know that. The United States celebrates Mother's Day. Honor your Mother Day. That's what it is. So, what is it that makes us so unique? Are we unique after all? We have this command, but so does everybody else. Does that mean that Christianity is just a religion like any other? Offering basically the same thing that, whether it be Confucianism or African traditional religion or secular humanistic, materialistic philosophy, or is it all really the same when it comes out in the wash? Are we all basically teaching love? Why make so much about our differences when effectively we're all the same? Well, I imagine you know what I'm going to say. But do we? Do we know the difference? Because there is a great difference. There is a great difference. With as many similarities as there is a difference about our command to honor our father and our mother. Not only are there the similarities, not only do we have something similar, but as the church we have something better. Let's look at what's similar first. Honor your father and mother. I guess I've already established that point, right? It's very similar. You go out here and you talk to somebody in the street, you say, hey, it's Honor Your Mother Day, and they're going to give you five, right? It's similar. But why is that, I want to ask? Why is it that you could go across the Atlantic, across the Pacific, if you could get in a time machine and you went across time, if you were to speak to Confucius, if you spoke to King Ekwe Ekwe, why is it that everybody is saying, honor your mother? Of the host of things that we could value in this world, why is it that humans, invariably throughout time and through every place, have said that this is good and right and beautiful? It speaks to the very fact that there is a God who has made himself known. He has made himself known in his creation. He has made himself and makes himself known in every single creature, human creature, that he has made by putting the law in their hearts. And surely, as rebels against his will, sinners, as the Bible calls us, we are very effective at searing our conscience, at ignoring God's law. But God has not let us go so far that any culture has seen to forget this. And I pray for any culture that forgets this. It'd be a terrible place to live indeed that did not honor their mother. But you see, the very fact that we have similarity does not say to us as Christians, you're the same as everybody else. What we hear when we recognize that everybody knows this is that the Bible is true when it says that God has placed the law in the very heart of every one of his image bearers. And so, living in God's world, as God's creatures, all of us still remember that great law, that great rule, that great guide, that we were made to honor our mother and our father. And so this, in a general way, reminds us of a very important principle. You know, as Christians, we know that at times we stand against culture. There are things that are being done and being taught that we must say no. But sometimes we can so emphasize that as Christians that we can forget the great similarities we have with our fellow image bearers. And those times that we also need to say yes. But here's the best thing about it, is when we can say, yes, we agree with you, my friend. I agree we should celebrate Mother's Day. It also creates an opportunity to talk about the fact that there is a right and a wrong. And that we have actually often failed to honor our mother. We can use it as a point of humility with the other. How I have failed to love my mother as I ought. And I'm sorry about that, Mom. My mom's here. And you know what? There's something that can be done about that. God sent his son to die for us so that something can be done about my guilt, about my shame, that I might be forgiven, and that even by his spirit I might be able to treat my mother better than I have in the past. You see, this similarity that we have with all of the peoples of the earth creates an opportunity for us to talk about right and wrong and forgiveness in Christ. But you see, there is a difference too. Not only in this commandment do we have something similar with everybody else, we have something different and we have therefore something better. And I've already touched on it briefly, but let's look at the passage. Let's look a bit earlier in the passage. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 5. But go back a bit, and you'll note verse 6. Verse 6, and I've said this many times, and I hope for many of you, you already know what I'm going to say. Verse 6 says, "You shall do what I say." Is that what it says? It says, "You be a good boy." Is that what it says? Oh, wait, no, here it is. "You do everything right, and once you've been perfect, you can have a relationship with me." Is that what it says? No. It says, "I am Yahweh, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." God redeemed the people of Israel, rebels against his will, along with the rest of humanity. God could have fairly and justly let humanity go its own way, but he didn't. He moved into the world, chose a small people, Israel. He says they are a stiff-necked people, an immoral people even. And yet he chose them to make them his special possession, taking them out of slavery, giving them a promised land so that they might shine, so that they might be a light to the nations. Because he loves them, not because they deserved it. This is what we call grace. It's the opposite of getting what you deserve. It's getting what you don't deserve. And before God tells us to do anything, he reminds us first that he loved us before we loved him. That our relationship is not based on what we do fundamentally, but it is based on what he does and has done for us. And as Christians, of course, it goes well beyond that our people were delivered a long time ago from slavery in Egypt. We have been delivered from our sin. We have been delivered from a heart that wants to strangely say yes to God and say no at the very same time. We have been delivered from being rebels against his will. We have been delivered from not just the miseries of a life lived without God, but we have been delivered from the pains of hell. Christ, God himself, sent of God the Father, God the Son, becomes man, takes upon himself human flesh, lives the perfect life none of us could live, dies on the cross in our place and for our sins. Being raised on the third day, he ascends into heaven, pours out his Spirit so that we could be taken out of darkness and brought into the light, not because of anything we have done, but because he decided to. Our salvation is 100% God from beginning to end. And before we hear a single word about honoring our parents or not lying or anything else, it is grace. Your relationship is secure. And now that you know your relationship is secure, here is how you relate to me in this relationship. Honor your mothers. Do you see how this might change the way we honor our mothers? See, in our culture, we're told, it's Mother's Day, go out and honor your mother. And everybody's like, cool, like to do that. Let me go buy something for my mom. Except those who, growing up, were abused by mom. It happens. Maybe they were mistreated by mom in ways we can't really say would be appropriate right now. Maybe mom wasn't there for them. And so on Mother's Day, the way they celebrate Mother's Day is by ignoring their mom. not buying their mom anything. Maybe they send mom a nasty note. Maybe they talk bad about her. You want to know what I think about my mom? Now, I'm not saying a mother treating their child that way is right. But you see, in our culture, Mother's Day can become about merit. Was mom good enough? Was she worthy of celebration if she wasn't perfect? And by the way, a lot of people don't celebrate moms just because they're a little bit imperfect even. It's not just the ones who you know, fed shame and guilt as a regular diet to their child growing up, but it can be the mom who just slipped up here and there and their child doesn't have the time to call them. But as Christians, we have something better. Because when we're told to honor our mother, we remember first that we have dishonored our mother. We remember first that we were sinners and that God did not treat us according to our merits. God loved us despite our demerits. God honored us with his very life, even when we did not honor him with our lips. And so now when we come to a command, that command is colored by and vivified and lit up with the grace of God so that we don't honor our mother because she was always 100% honorable, but we honor our mother for both the wonderful and good person she has always been and also in light of the fact that she's not perfect. And we honor them anyways. This is in part why what we have is better. But it's more than that too. Because there were four commandments before honor your mother. You shall have no other gods before me. And three other commands that have everything to do with honoring God. In fact, it goes beyond honoring God. It goes to worshiping God. You see, those first four commands orient us to what is the chief purpose of humanity, which is salvation itself. That people walk around and bumble through this world not really knowing what their purpose is. God has told us it is to worship him and reflect his glory for the good of our neighbors and to enjoy him as our chief good. It is worship. Worship. Worship God. Those first four commandments. Then we come to honoring mom. But for many in our culture, honoring mom and dad becomes the worship. Now, maybe not many would say it that way. But how many live every day of their life just to hear their father say, good job, but they never hear it? How many buy something from mom because they just want mom to say, I'm proud of you? I mean, they lay at the feet of mom, please, please tell me that I'm worthy. Please tell me that I'm good. And my friends, we were not made for that kind of a relationship with our mothers. And that's why we have something better. Because before this command, we remember who we worship, what our lives are about. Our chief purpose in life is to glorify God. And we glorify God, God says, by honoring our parents, but not worshiping them. There are cultures today that are mixed up in ancestor worship. If their mother's in the grave, they are at a shrine worshiping mom. And it will never satisfy. We have something better. And I could go on, but let's just look at one last aspect of this that is better than what we have in our surrounding culture. Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God commanded you. I love that, by the way. It doesn't say, you shall not murder, as the Lord your God has commanded you. Now, I'm not absolutely positive, but this is sort of like saying, because the Lord your God has commanded you. I looked it up. In the Hebrew, that is a possible way of this being translated, which reminds me of kind of like, you know, when parents say, why should you do this? Because I said so. And I do believe that's why it's here. It's underlying authority, underlining authority here. Your parents are your authority. And maybe I should give a quick word about what does it mean to honor your parents, right? When your mom did love you, she gave birth to you, she fed you, she clothed you, she protected you, she taught you, okay, in ways you didn't even know. You didn't even know how to burp well. Your mama had to teach you how to burp. You think you just came out of the womb knowing that kind of stuff? All right, you had to learn everything, friends. She did that for you along with your father. Don't mean it, but it's on Mother's Day. Okay? And in the Old Testament, what that would mean to honor her would be to trust and obey. Do believe she's got your best interest in mind. Do what she says. Believe what she's telling you. Do what she says. Also, do your chores. Old Testament, seriously. Go milk the cows. You know, shear the sheep. You know what I mean? Go help plant the plant. But in the modern day, clean your room, for goodness sakes. It's more than that, too. In the Old Testament, it would also mean caring for your aged parents. You are their security net. And in the modern day, that counts too. It's not just about Mother's Day, buy her flowers, you got the check. No, it's about caring for your parents in their old age as well. Now, what happens when we honor our father and mother? What is it that's even better than what our surrounding culture has? That your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God has given you. There is a promise there. And God is serious. If you respond to God's grace by living this sort of life, and your primary motivation ought to be, and it takes time to learn how to do this, ought to be to glorify God, God has given you another motivation. Your days will be long and your life will be good in the land that the Lord God has given you. Now, I've seen this in real life. My father-in-law has a brother. They both grew up on the farm. My father-in-law, when he was a kid, he helped out with all the farm tasks in Pennsylvania. His brother couldn't be bothered. When my father-in-law's parents got old, who was always at the farm helping out, making sure things were being taken care of? My father-in-law. Who couldn't be bothered? His brother. Whose life, by anybody's estimation as they look at it, has gone better? My father-in-law. He's got a wife who loves him. He's got children who love him. He has a home. He has money in his bank account. His life is going well. His brother, practically penniless. His wife left him. His kids don't like him. Okay? It's like a parable for this verse. Is this the Lord's blessing? Obviously. This is a promise. As we covenant with the Lord, as we respond to His grace with this kind of life, we can expect to have a better life, a longer life. And yet, I know you're sitting there thinking, yeah, but hold on, it doesn't always work that way. And I'm going to tell you, yeah, I know that because I read the book of Job. And yes, you know that because you heard me preach through the book of Ecclesiastes. And yes, the people in the Old Testament knew that. Sometimes when people do what is right in relation to God, things don't always work out perfectly. And so there was that tension in the Old Testament. And much like Abraham, who when told that he would have to sacrifice his son Isaac, the one who would become a great nation, how does this make sense? God forced Abraham to start thinking by faith, thinking in ways he would not have otherwise thought. And so, as we know, in the letter to the Hebrews, Abraham reasoned by faith that somehow then, I guess, Isaac is going to be raised from the dead. And throughout the Old Testament, people who saw those righteous members of the community dying early and not having things go well for them had to reason thusly, God must still yet keep His promise in a way I cannot understand. Until came that one. That one who always loved Mama. That one who perfectly honored his parents. That one who, at a young age, even at the height of his vigor, was placed on the cross and died an early death. Things did not go well for Christ that day, to be sure. But why? He had kept every command perfectly, even honoring his mother while he was in excruciating pain on the cross, saying to his disciple, "This is your mother. Mother, this is your son," making sure that as he perished, his mother would be taken care of, and he died. But then the answer came, you see. The righteous sufferer, was raised to stand on the third day. And that same Son who died for the sins of His mother, that same Son who rose for His mother, ascended for His mother, even poured out His Spirit upon His mother on Pentecost, that His mother might be brought from death to life and might believe in her Son, might be forgiven of her sins, and granted eternal life in the land, never to die again. Mysteries were revealed in the death and resurrection of Christ. God keeps His promises, and those who keep His word and honor their mother can be assured that as those who trust in Christ and His finished work and keep His word by His Spirit, we too enjoy eternal life, long life in the land. May we honor our mothers along with our neighbors, but honor our mothers better by doing it for the honor of our God, who has granted us this life. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise You and we thank You. We will go out today and we will probably fail. Maybe we will fail within the next 30 seconds in loving our mom and our hearts or something like that, God. Help us to remember that we are not engaged in a religion of moralism, but that we have been saved, we have been redeemed, and that our imperfections do not keep us from relationship with You. And yet help us today to be motivated, to love and honor our mothers the way You created us to. And may the way that we live as individuals, as a community, both here and around the world, may it become a witness to our neighbors that there is indeed a better way. We pray this in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.